Programming on Minnesota Public Radio is supported by Minnesota Corn Growers, dedicated to bringing you a healthy, safe, and abundant food supply day after day, year after year, on the web at mncorn.org.
It's 6 minutes now past 11 o'clock. And good morning. Welcome to Midday on Minnesota Public Radio. I'm Gary Eichten. Glad you could join us. Every year at the state capitol, there is a heated debate over abortion-related legislation, and this year is no different. Two abortion-related bills cleared Minnesota House committees yesterday. One would establish a special license plate displaying the message, Choose Life. Each plate would cost an extra $25. The money would be used to help women who choose to put their child up for adoption, help those women defray expenses for food, maternity clothes, and the like. The other bill would require women to receive some educational materials about abortion, and it would impose a 24-hour waiting period before they could receive an abortion in Minnesota. Yesterday on this program, Governor Jesse Ventura said he would veto both bills if they reach his desk. Well, this hour of midday, we're going to take a closer look at both bills. This first half hour, we're going to focus on the license plate bill. Joining us here in the studio is Connie Perpich, who is Director of Public Affairs for Planned Parenthood of Minnesota. And joining us by phone is Jackie Schweitz, who is Executive Director of Minnesota Citizens Concerned for Life. We also invite you to join our conversation. If you have a question about the license plate bill that you've been hearing about, give us a call here, 651-227-6000. 651-227-6000. Outside the Twin Cities, 1-800-242-2828. 651-227-6000 or 1-800-242-2828. Jackie Schweitz, Connie Perpich, thank you for joining us today.
Thank you.
Thank you for having us.
Jackie Schweitz, let me start with you. Why does Minnesota need these new license plates?
Well, the purpose of the license plate is to encourage women to consider adoption as a choice for an unplanned pregnancy. And all the proceeds from that special license plate will go to pay for the expenses of any pregnant woman who carries her child to term and places their baby with adoptive parents. And as you mentioned before, the bill will help women pay for the expenses, including medical and utility bills, maternity clothing, food, housing, transportation costs, and also it will help pay the expenses of her infant until it's placed with an adoptive parent.
Mm-hmm. Do you have any idea how many women in Minnesota are putting their babies up for adoption? Are there any numbers on that at all?
I'm sure that there are some numbers that the State Department of Health has or the Department of Human Services, but there aren't very many babies available in Minnesota, and that's why you see a large number of parents turning to foreign adoptions. They're very big in Minnesota. That's because there simply aren't enough babies here in Minnesota for adoption. And we think that having this pool of money will help give women a real option and will encourage more of them to place their children for adoption.
Mm-hmm. Governor Ventura said yesterday that he will veto this bill if it does pass. He said it just opens a Pandora's box. Every political cause known to man will want their own license plate. How would you respond to the governor?
Well, we already have a number of special license plates in Minnesota. One of the ones that we have that's very popular is an environmental license plate. And I don't see that the Choose Life license plate is any more political than an environmental license plate. And we make statements with those license plates, and I don't see that this one is any more controversial than the critical habitat environmental plate. And the strictly voluntary, we aren't forcing anyone to go out and buy the license plate. People make a donation. There isn't any tax money involved, and I think people should have a choice here, and a choice that can make a big difference in a lot of people's lives.
Connie Perpich, why do you folks oppose this bill? We have heard over time that really both sides of the abortion debate do at least come together to some degree on the issue of adoption.
Well, no question, Gary. Planned Parenthood does provide women, pregnant women facing an unplanned pregnancy, with all their options in front of them, from keeping the child and helping them seek the appropriate health and social services programs available to them, from referring them and working with the leading adoption agencies in our state, and, of course, providing information or counseling around the abortion decision. And, yes, we're very interested in looking at ways that we can help couples who are seeking to adopt children to more easily procure those children or to make it less costly than it is today. But that's not what this bill does. So if I could just have a couple seconds here to explain why we don't support the bill, I'd appreciate it. First of all, our opposition was based on two main points. Choose Life has become part of a political campaign or a political motto that is a license plate designed to bring up the anti-abortion perspective. And we do feel for the state of Minnesota to now start going into issues that are rather complex and can be divisive, and to reduce it into sloganeering on our state license plates is just absolutely not the way that Minnesotans really want to go in handling these tough issues. If we do allow a license plate that would be an avenue of an expression of expression only for the anti-abortion side and not to allow a significant portion of the population who hold the other side's viewpoint, that doesn't seem very fair, very Minnesotan. I'd like to point out, as I did in testimony yesterday, that when the state of Ohio entertained this kind of a bill last year, the State Police Officers Association and the Statewide Automobile Association, two groups that don't traditionally get into the abortion issue, came out in opposition to the bill, as they did not like the idea of having divisive statements on official license plates become part of the culture in Ohio. And I suspect that that is how many Minnesotans will feel. I think that there were a lot of anti-abortion legislators yesterday who were feeling relief when the governor made it clear that this wasn't going any further. But my really strong...
Well, I would just like to say in response that there is nothing political and there is nothing negative about a license plate that says Choose Life and shows two small children, crayon drawings of small children. There is nothing negative about that. I think it has a very positive effect when you look at it. And I don't think it's any more political than a license plate promoting the environmental issue. And if I, and Connie's comment about it not being fair, they have every right to go ahead and introduce their own bill and have their own license plate. There is nothing about abortion on this license plate. All it says is Choose Life. The proceeds go to a pro-adoption fund, and this is what it's all about.
Well, all right,
and I don't know why all of us can't agree that adoption is a good thing and that we want to promote it, and there is nothing about abortion in this bill or in this initiative. It's pro-adoption. And all of these comments that Connie and the rest of her pro-abortion colleagues are making are simply red herrings to throw everyone off what the subject really should be about.
It should be about pro-adoption. So as I would like to make my second point, this is not about helping out agencies that do adoption. And I think that's been pointed out in today's newspapers, and we did raise this Monday when the bill was introduced. And if I can quickly get in a little complaint here, Gary, it was a little frustrating. If you follow the legislature, Friday is the last day you can hear bills in this session, and of course we're now into about 2.5 months of the session. Monday morning, the MCCL announced this bill with Speaker Sphygum. We were not allowed a copy of the bill. However, a hearing was scheduled for yesterday morning. We scrambled. We figured it out, but it was, you get a little frustrated with the process. But that's not my main point.
No, that's another red herring.
Whatever. My second large objection is this bill, that there would be in the opportunity when purchasing these license plates to make a $25 donation to organizations that do not refer or counsel on abortion. And, of course, these organizations then would help women, pregnant women, with their food, housing, and other needs during pregnancy. We pointed out that the large adoption agencies in this state, Children's Home Society, the premier adoption agency, Lutheran Social Services, these groups provide all the information to pregnant women facing an unplanned pregnancy, as does Planned Parenthood. They refer and they counsel on abortion. These groups would not be eligible to receive the money that would be collected by the state. So what we're doing here is creating a fund that the state would administer for anti-abortion counseling centers.
Jackie Schweitz, why exclude organizations like Children's Home, which is the apparently the largest of the adoption agencies?
Well, actually, there's a whole list of adoption agencies that are supporting the bill, including Catholic Charities. Children's Home Society, when contacted about their support for the bill, said that they preferred to remain neutral at this time. So they are not opposing the bill. And
So they would be eligible for money then under the bill?
They would be eligible for money under the bill as long as they did not refer or counsel for abortion.
And, of course, they do refer and counsel.
You know, the real reason why the provision in the bill says that the agencies who receive the funds under the license plate bill, the reason that they would not get the money is because it doesn't make any sense to give pro-adoption money to agencies that counsel or refer for abortion.
Well, if they
can't support that provision, if they can't be committed to adoption, then they shouldn't be getting the money. Now, if Planned Parenthood wants the money, all they have to do is stop providing and referring for abortion.
But I'd like to clarify for listeners here what would be the connection between an agency that is involved in both. I mean, they provide adoption services and perhaps they refer for abortions and the rest. Why does doing one exclude you from doing the other, if you get my
And I'd like, I mean, we're talking about Lutheran Social Services here also. I don't think you would see Lutheran Social Services as an organization that is promoting abortion. What they are doing is being sensitive to the needs of the women who come to them and trying to provide them with the best information and the best counseling that is available to help those women make their right decisions. I don't think that the anti-abortion crisis counseling centers that would be funded under this bill would be sensitive to providing all the information and the referrals that these women might need.
Well, we're talking about adoption here. And if we're going to do a bill that is pro-adoption, if the funds are going to go for adoption, it doesn't make any sense to give it to agencies that refer or counsel for abortion.
So we are talking about the largest adoption.
We're really getting out off the subject, and these are just red herrings that
Jackie, with all due respect,
in order to get us off the subject of adoption,
one at a time,
which Connie has said she supports.
Of course we support it. Of course we support adoption, and we provide information and we provide referrals to Catholic Charities, Lutheran Social Services, Children's Home Society, and other groups. But I mean, this is so frustrating.
What we're really getting down here is that
pro-choice
is all
about
abortion. Abortion. It's only one choice, and it's the abortion choice.
Jackie, that's really offensive, and you know, it's just, you know, we provide the information. We work with these groups. We are saying you, in your bill, and here, this is an example of this so-called gag rule, Gary, that's been popping up all over the place at the state legislature. And the MCCL is behind this so-called gag rule. Any organization that refers or counsels on abortion is ineligible for certain funds. We had it in front of regulated industries, my God, a couple weeks ago on a hotline for suicide victims.
Well, let's not get too far off.
Well, I want to point out that this gag rule has very widespread influence. And, I mean, now we are saying, now, if I'm hearing this right,
well, you know,
the MCCL is saying that Children's Home Society and the Lutheran Social Services is not eligible to talk about adoption.
One at a time here.
If I may.
If I may.
Let Jackie Schweitz here respond now. Go ahead.
Well, I would like to try and stay on the subject, and I'm very willing to stay on the subject. And the subject is the Choose Life license plate, a very clear message on the license plate, very positive. The money will go for pro-adoption programs. There are plenty of adoption agencies in the state that will qualify for the money.
But why exclude the other ones?
Well, it doesn't make any sense to give the money to agencies that would have only one choice. There'd be a conflict of interest there.
But I guess I'm wondering, these other agencies that would be excluded, they don't provide services on adoption? Two? I mean, they do.
They are adoption agencies.
If they provide services on adoption,
mm-hmm.
but if they also provide services on abortion, there's a conflict of interest. The money should go to agencies that provide for adoption, period. And there are plenty of those agencies in Minnesota where the money can go. We don't have to take into account agencies where there would be a conflict of interest.
Maybe this
would encourage them not to do the abortion counseling and referrals. We hope that this license plate bill will generate enough funds so that it will make abortion a choice that women won't choose, that they would rather choose adoption.
Gary, I think you're hearing why the governor will never sign this bill. This is a funding system that, in essence, we're saying, let's try to take money away from the leading premier adoption agencies.
This is strictly voluntary.
Gary, do you think I could respond at some time?
They don't have to have one.
Okay.
They don't have to choose one.
Let Ms. Perpich have her say here, too.
So to stay on the bill, as Jackie has requested, reading from the bill, funds may not be distributed to any agency that is directly or indirectly involved in or associated with abortion activities, including counseling or referrals. So this directly or indirectly, counseling or referrals, you're talking about agencies that might even refer a pregnant woman to a health care provider, such as Hennepin County Medical Center, who might give the woman all her options.
That's not true.
Who is going to be monitoring all this craziness? And the bill's not going to pass. It's one of those over-the-top legislative ideas.
Well, I think you've stretched it a bit, Connie. The money will go to agencies that provide for adoption. And I don't know that the Hennepin County Medical Center is one of those. And
Let her finish, please. Go ahead, Jackie.
I think we need to get back to what the subject is here. And according to all the data from the National Center for Health Statistics, there are an estimated 3.3 adoption seekers for every actual adoption in the United States. All we're saying here is that there are a lot of people out there who want to adopt. There aren't any children available to them, or at least not enough. And what we want to do is see that there are more choices out there for women when they're facing a real crisis in their life. And that choice should be adoption. And we want to help make that adoption choice a reality. And that's what the money will be raised for. And it should not be political. You know, only people making it political are people like Planned Parenthood. If they don't like the license plate, it's strictly voluntary. Nobody's going to force anybody to get a license plate. Money that goes to the license plate is a donation from the individuals who buy them. And if they don't like our license plate, they can put in their own bill for their own license plate.
Okay. A couple quick comments from listeners here before we have to wrap up this segment. John from St. Paul, your first quick comment, please.
Yes. My comment, first of all, as I'm listening to this for the last 15 minutes, I must say that your bill sponsor is totally disingenuous in saying that this is a non-political bill. In just listening to the conversation, there's no question this is a political bill. And the issue, as the governor stated, is if you want to support adoption, make a contribution of $25 to whatever organization would do the adoption and not worry about a license plate. This is absolutely a political issue.
All right.
And I don't think you can ever get it away. This is a divisive issue on anybody's part, and it's going to stay that way. We don't need to have another Minnesota license plate.
All right. Thank you, John. And let's hear from another listener. Another John, as a matter of fact, from Lauderdale. John, quick comment.
Yes. Thank you, Gary. What I wanted to comment was, I think what this issue really comes down with the license plate is freedom of speech. And I think if this license plate is taken away from people can't do it, I think it's really just saying that we don't have the right to express how we feel in this country, especially when you look and you see that the environmentalists are allowed to have their own license plate. And the other thing I wanted to mention that's correlating with that is even President Clinton said that he wanted to make abortion as rare as possible. And if an unwed mother needs to get some help with this fund so she has a child that will be put up to adoption, that would be fair and it would fall in line with what former President Clinton had said. Okay. I also come from family where I have an adopted sister, and I couldn't imagine her not in our family.
All right.
Thank you.
Thank you, John.
Gary, I also have adopted relatives, and of course we love them dearly. But I'm getting back to this gag rule. Talk about an audacious infringement upon speech. We will not fund the leading adoption agencies in this state because we don't like what they are saying to women in private counseling sessions. I don't know how more draconian, how more frightening an attempted piece of legislation could be, that we now are going to tell premier groups like Lutheran Social Services, if you can't abide by our rigid perspective on what should be told pregnant women in crisis situations, you're not going to get any funding.
Let me ask both of you this before we have to wrap up this segment. We've got a caller on the line who we're not going to be able to get to, but he suggests that the slogan itself on the license plate be changed to support adoption, it would read, support adoption. Would you be open to that, Jackie Schweitz?
Well, I don't know if that's the right message. We have plenty of parents who want to adopt. There are plenty of people out there who do support adoption. The real problem we have is we don't have enough children, and that's why the message should be choose life.
You know, it's really interesting today.
But maybe Connie would support Choose Adoption.
Yes, of course we would support Choose Adoption, but we do not support the money going to organizations that don't provide women with their choices. However, I point out in today's St. Paul paper, the head of pregnancy counseling for Lutheran Social Services said the real reason there aren't many children to be adopted is many women are choosing to raise their own children or child when out of wedlock, because we have many health and social service programs, thank God, for those women to be able to raise their own child. So I think that, you know, the MCCL is being very disingenuous by implying we need a little more money for food or housing for these women, never coming to the legislature to lobby the legislative process to get some money there, but to help.
Well, actually, you're wrong there, Connie. Maybe you just don't pay attention to all of the places that we are down at the Capitol and all of the bills that we have supported in the past, and we've always been there. We've been there for all of the bills on adoption for special needs children, and we support those bills very strenuously. We have been asked to testify on adoption bills by
I guess I'm talking about basic health and social service programs.
And we have been in support of a number of those programs. But, you know,
two quick questions, then we do have to wrap up this segment. Jackie Schweitz, quick question for you. Any thought about dropping the provision which would exclude agencies that refer abortions and allow them to get in on the money as well?
This is a pro-adoption bill.
So that,
we do not want to send the wrong message.
Okay. And do you think there's any chance that this might pass, especially given the fact the governor's already said he's going to veto it?
Well, I think that if everybody paid attention to what the governor said and made decisions at the Minnesota legislature based on what Jesse Ventura wanted or didn't want, we would be in a pretty sorry state. And I'm glad that the legislators are not going to pay attention to what he has to say on this bill.
All right.
Again, I think the legislators, many of the anti-abortion legislators, were quietly expressing relief that the governor was going to handle this rather ridiculous proposal.
All right. Well, thank you very much for both of you. We have another lively half hour coming up. Jackie Schweitz joining us. She is the executive director of the Minnesota Citizens Concern for Life. And also with us today, Connie Perpich, Director of Public Affairs for Planned Parenthood of Minnesota, talking this hour about that license plate bill. We're going to break for news, then we'll be back and take a look at the other abortion-related bill currently before the legislature, the so-called Women's Right to Know. So stay tuned.
I'm Lorna Benson on the next All Things Considered. Minnesota Wild coach Jacques Lemaire reflects on his team's inaugural season and his coaching style.
They're all friends till they become not my friend. If they're not helping, they're not my friend. And if they're helping, join the group.
It's All Things Considered, weekdays at 3 on Minnesota Public Radio, KNOW FM 91.1 in the Twin Cities.
Just a reminder that you're listening to member-supported Minnesota Public Radio, and we thank all of our loyal and generous members. News headlines. Now here's Stephen John. Stephen?
Thank you, Gary. President Bush is making it clear he won't accept a new Democratic plan for cutting taxes. Senate Democrats are proposing a $300 rebate for all Americans this year, coupled with a cut in the lowest tax rate to 10%. Bush said this morning reducing just one rate is not enough. The Senate is tinkering with an amendment to the campaign finance reform bill in a move seen as a counterstroke to the drive to ban soft money flowing to political parties. The Senate voted today to raise the amount of so-called hard money that can be given to a political campaign. Fears about school shootings have prompted the funeral homes in Syracuse, New York, to give advance notice of military funerals. The new policy comes after children and teachers at an elementary school became frightened when they heard gunshots last Friday. The school was locked down and Syracuse police were called. It turns out the shots were from a military salute at a nearby cemetery. Census figures released today indicate Minnesota's congressional districts will likely see big changes due to population shifts from Greater Minnesota, Minneapolis, and St. Paul to the Twin Cities suburbs. According to the U.S. Census Bureau, the congressional district that includes Minneapolis lost over 57,000 residents in the last decade, and the district including St. Paul lost almost 38,000. An Austin woman has been arraigned on 7 counts stemming from Sunday's escape by 3 inmates from the Maurer County Jail. 18-year-old Gabrielle Holvik is accused of being outside the jail in a getaway car when the inmates overpowered 2 jailers and escaped through a second-story window. Holvik was arraigned this morning in Maurer County District Court on counts including aiding and abetting an escape. She remains in custody on $100,000 bond. The forecast calls for mostly cloudy conditions, light snow developing statewide this afternoon. Some rain is possible in the south, highs mainly in the 30s around the region now. It's partly sunny in International Falls, 35 degrees. St. Cloud has 36, and Gary in the Twin Cities, cloudy and 37. That's the latest from the newsroom.
All right, thank you, Stephen. It's 26 minutes before noon. This is midday on Minnesota Public Radio. And this hour, midday, we're focusing on 2 abortion-related bills moving through the Minnesota legislature. We just finished discussing the license plate bill. This part of the program, we're going to focus on what's been referred to as the Women's Right to Know bill. It would prohibit abortions from being performed unless the woman is given some specific information about abortions. It would also impose a 24-hour waiting period before an abortion could be performed. Now, last year, you'll recall, Governor Jesse Ventura vetoed a similar bill, and yesterday the governor made it clear that he would veto the bill again this year if it ends up getting passed by the legislature. Republican State Representative Linda Boudreau of Faribault is the author of the bill in the Minnesota House, and she is scheduled to join us any moment now to discuss the bill from her perspective. Meanwhile, Connie Perpich, who is Director of Public Affairs for Planned Parenthood of Minnesota, is with us again this half hour, and she is opposed to this bill. Connie Perpich, what is wrong with making sure that women who are going to get an abortion have all the information about the procedure, about alternatives?
Absolutely nothing.
What's wrong with it?
It's a necessity, and it is something that Planned Parenthood provides all information about risks of abortion, about alternatives, about the procedure. We do that because my agency's concern is with the woman making the right choice for herself. Even if that was not our mission, it would be in our own financial best interest to make sure that the woman seeking an abortion understood fully what was about to happen. But Gary, before I'm going to get into our specific concerns with the bill, I just was sitting here thinking how ironic it is with what we just talked about in the last session about this gag rule. Organizations that, such as Children's Home Society, Lutheran Social Services, organizations that say, that tell women their options in their pregnancy, would not get this funding out of the license plate bill. However, we have this so-called right to know bill. And I'd like to point out, it kind of sort of seems to me like we are getting from the MCCL this session the right to know a little bit, or the right to know what MCCL wants you to know. But you can't have it on one hand that you're going to gag premier institutions in the state, and on the other hand, run around and talk about women's right to know. It just doesn't seem to fit. But getting back to this so-called right to know bill, our objections, I mean, that would be absurd to say that we don't feel women should get information. We think women should have as much, more than enough information. And we would love to see the state of Minnesota provide us, or to provide some neutral organization, Lutheran Social Services, with medically accurate information that we could distribute to people. It certainly would help us with our bottom line in producing and raising the money to produce this ourselves. What our big concern with this bill is this year, as it was last year, and the press just doesn't report it enough, is the physician, the potential physician harassment of this bill. We absolutely will not provide the doctor's name over the telephone 24 hours in advance to anybody who calls up and says, I want to know who is doing abortions tomorrow.
So if the sponsors strip that the clause out of the bill,
they
you
have
could support
to, they
it?
They have to strip out the name of the bill, the name of the physician, and the civil lawsuits against the doctors. Now, they'll come back and say, that's the heart of this bill. Well, from our experience, that those are obvious ways of harassing doctors with frivolous civil lawsuits that will take up a lot of time and a lot of money. And the doctors in the state of Minnesota are so worried about the intimidating tactics, perhaps not of the MCCL, but of other anti-abortion groups. I point out the Star Tribune just did a big story about, quote, RU 486 or medical abortions, and why doctors were reluctant in the state to move into these early terminations that can be done with a drug now. Some wacko group in Texas did a mailing to every physician in the state implying, if you start prescribing these drugs that can produce early abortion, you'll be on our list. I point out that this bill would cover doctors who were going to offer that kind of a, quote, abortion bill, their name would have to be disclosed 24 hours over the phone. The whole part of this bill that deals with doctors, we will not accept. The governor won't accept it. I have the Medical Association's objections in front of me. The Minnesota Medical Association does not support this bill for these reasons.
State Representative Linda Boudreau is with us now, author of the bill. Representative Boudreau, thanks for joining us.
Good morning.
Let me start here. As I understand it, there are no similar requirements for other procedures, surgical procedures in Minnesota. Why just abortion?
In regard to, I missed some of the previous conversations, but you're saying there's no informed consent for other procedures? I think there is informed consent for most all surgical procedures.
24-hour waiting period and...
First of all, there's no 24-hour waiting period. It only requires that the information be provided at least 24 hours before the abortion procedure. Now, as far as that creating a waiting period, I think even Ms. Perpich would say that most appointments are scheduled out a week or 2 weeks in advance. So that really does not...
I don't think that's really our major objection.
Okay. Well,
but that does not impose... The intent is not to impose a waiting period. It's just to assure that the information is provided, and it's not provided at the moment of the procedure.
Mm-hmm. And your sense is that that women are not getting that kind of information now?
Well, my sense is from the information I received is that they are not getting all of the information that they need to make these decisions. Now, I understand that Ms. Perpich and some of the folks that she represents says that they are getting that information, and the testimony from those groups said that they are getting that information. And I think if there's one thing we could agree on, it's that the information is important.
But, absolutely. The information is important, Representative Boudreau.
Yes, and I think we could agree on that. And if it is being given, I do not see why we have an objection to providing enforcement that it is given.
Well, and may I? I don't want to interrupt with you, Representative Boudreau. I got a little too hasty in the first half hour.
I'm sorry. I didn't hear the first half hour. I've just pulled out of committee, and I missed the previous discussion.
Okay. Well, let me ask you this, because this is ground we did cover with Connie Perpich here before you were able to join us. She says that the big problem, the really big problem with this bill from Planned Parenthood's perspective is the fact that doctors will be identified in advance and thus will be subject to harassment, or could be. Is there a reason that why is that in the bill, or would you be willing to take that out of the bill?
Well, let me just reverse that question. If you were going to have a surgical procedure done, and I would think anybody that's going to have a surgical procedure, an invasive procedure done, would want to be able to speak with their doctor, at least know which doctor or what doctor and the credentials of that doctor who would be performing that surgery. We do have medical risks associated with such a procedure, and I believe that they are underreported. I mean, I have spoke with gynecologists who see women with these complications from abortions. They are not typically returning to the abortion clinic with the complications. And I think it's very important that any person undergoing a procedure that is a surgically type procedure should be able to speak to that doctor and at least know which doctor is going to do it. Maybe they're have a preference in a doctor.
Okay.
So I don't think the intention is to put anyone at risk in the medical profession. I don't know, you know, how we would relate that to any other procedure. Are we putting any other person at risk that performs a medical procedure if we talk to them?
May I comment on that? Because I hope Representative Boudreau will acknowledge that doctors who do abortions in our state do put themselves at physical risk.
I don't have information that would justify that. I guess perhaps some people would not think it is a affirmative activity or a, you know, some people may not approve of the doctors performing abortions.
And some may, and of course it is the position of the majority of Minnesota's OBGYNs that they would like to see abortion remain legal. And there, if one talks to the doctors in this state, one hears how many acts of intimidation are out there. We hear it very, very clearly.
Well, what about Representative Boudreau's fundamental
point
here?
About who's doing your abortion?
Well, right. I mean,
I was going to get to that.
Don't you have a right? I mean, it would make sense that you'd like to talk to the doctor.
When you come in, you certainly have a right to talk to your physician and meet that physician. One of the things I was going to point, and I want to point out, Gary, the Minnesota Medical Association is in opposition to this bill on a number of points. But let me just say, unfortunately, with our health care system now, and Representative Boudreau says, don't you have a right to know which physician or surgeon is doing your procedure? I think that there's all kinds of stories out there now of people not knowing who the surgeon was until just before the procedure. But that's not the case with abortion. When you come in and you meet the doctor, you have an opportunity to discuss at length what your concerns are. But, you know, we have, and I'm reading from the Medical Association's objections to the bill yesterday, we have always had a requirement for obtaining informed consent for abortion on our statutes. You have to provide all the information to the woman. Failure to do that is a felony. The doctor we already have said doctors must convey this information to the patients. It's a felony not to. we just absolutely aren't going to let the doctor's name go out there publicly to any anonymous crankster who could call in. That's the reality of the situation that we deal with in trying to provide abortions to women in the state of Minnesota.
Representative Boudreaux?
Well, I don't think that information would be going out to any crankster. It would be going out to someone who has an appointment for an abortion, someone who is scheduled to have the procedure. And if you are already providing that information, as you said you are, I don't understand why you would not support the woman's right to know peace.
I really support, and Representative Boudreaux, we really could find some grounds of compromise if we could pull out what we are saying is the bottom line. We will not put doctors at risk of further harassment. But to be able to figure out a way of getting medically accurate information out there, whether it be on the internet, whether it be in Kinko's or Starbucks, I don't mean it to be flippant. Obviously, we want women to be as informed as we all can get them. It's in their best interest. But it's our bottom line. And we are hearing from the medical groups, from the physicians. And don't you acknowledge that the Minnesota Medical Association is in opposition to this bill?
First of all, I don't use the Minnesota Medical Association's policies as my policies to develop what is right and safe and in the best interest of the citizens of the state. I think they have their interests that they're focusing on. And I would say that I've had other bills that they have not necessarily supported. But I am speaking to gynecologists who are supportive of that. I'm speaking to counselors who are supportive of that, pastors. I'm speaking to women who support this. I would say there's broad support for this kind of information to be required. We don't have enforcement currently that it is required, and that's the problem.
Well, we do have a felony if informed consent is not given by the physician to a woman seeking an abortion.
Well, if we have that felony, why do we have people who have been denied that information who are coming forth stating it was denied?
With all due respect, Representative Boudreaux, and the testimony which the MCCL has brought forth yesterday and in the past, the woman who appeared, it was 27 or some years ago, and I don't know, maybe she did not receive the accurate information 27 years ago. That has, if that was the case, that has long, long since been corrected.
Well, Ms. Perpich or Connie, we do have other people who have come forth. There are not too many who wish to come and sit in a committee hearing and testify publicly about their past experiences and having an abortion. Many have not even revealed that to their family.
And I can understand that, Representative Boudreaux. Let me just throw out this as a potential compromise. Would you support if Planned Parenthood said the state shall produce medically accurate information that Lutheran Social Services feels is non-biased, and that we would agree that we would mail that out to individuals with abortion appointments so that they would have it at least 24 hours in advance?
Well, first of all, I would like to back up and say the bill that was compromised last year that did meet some of the governor's criteria, I think does already meet your concerns, or at least it should eliminate your concerns, because it did allow a physician's agent to provide some of this information. And I do not think that you supported that bill, which did the same thing.
Representative Boudreaux, we will not compromise on physician disclosure or potential harassment of physicians by frivolous civil lawsuits. Now, we won't do it, and the governor will stand by us, I think. But I'm making an offer to you that we would be willing to agree to send out medically accurate information that a neutral body signed off on, and agree that that would be obtained by the women at least 24 hours in advance.
But I don't think that really completes the entire provisions in the bill. That's only one segment of the bill.
Yeah, the other segment is the physician harassment segment.
But there's no physician harassment. That's your interpretation. There's nothing in the bill that would at least infer that there'd be harassment by a patient. That's your opinion.
Let me get a couple of callers, just quick comments from listeners on here before we wrap up this segment. Quick comment here, Joe. Go ahead, please. Joe, quick comment.
Good morning. I agree with Ms. Perpich, and I would just bring up one example. The representative mentions about how you should know who your doctor is and with other medical procedures. Well, anyone who has children, and my wife and I have three children, know that, and I think childbirth is probably the most important medical procedure. You trust your health care plan, because when you go to the hospital to deliver a baby, you don't know which doctor is going to deliver it. You get the doctor who's on call. That may or may not be your doctor. And when you get there, you could talk to the doctor who's on call. But a lot of times you don't know who this person is. You trust your medical provider. So I disagree with the bill.
Thank you, Joe. And let's hear from Thelma from Minneapolis. Quick comment here, Thelma.
Hi, I actually have two comments. The first comment is that I have a really problem with what type of information is it exactly that women don't have, because before they have pondered their decision to go to a provider to think about an abortion. And the second comment is that the New York Times had a special issued, I think, 2 years ago about the fact that physicians who were thinking about providing abortions were putting out a hit list. So I do agree with the problem of providing names. And on top of that, learning about abortion procedures is a voluntary topic that you learn in medical school, and a lot of young physicians do not choose to learn that because they are afraid of being hit.
Okay, Representative Boudreau, that seems to be the center of this year's debate on this legislation, the physician identification. Is there a way that you would consider dropping that aspect of the bill and passing the rest of it?
I would consider considering the language that was proposed last year, which I think did not have that concern raised, and did not have support from Planned Parenthood or from Ms. Perpich or the governor.
Well, Representative Boudreau, we have been consistent in our concerns about the physician's safety. Gary, may I say,
very briefly?
I just wanted to say, Representative Boudreau, can you see from our perspective the inconsistency of, on one hand, having a gag rule on various bills, like the license plate bill, that says organizations that refer or counsel or say something to pregnant women about their options are not eligible for funding, but then to have a so-called right-to-know bill. And from our perspective, it's like the right to know only what the MCCL wants you to know, what's going through the legislature. You can't, on one hand, gag counselors, clergymen, physicians, nurses, and on the other hand, accuse organizations of not giving women all the information they need.
Well, first of all, I don't see any gag rule relationship to the provisions you mention. And in regard to MCCL, this isn't about organization bringing forth a bill. This is about citizens of the state who support this measure.
I'm just talking about the inconsistency of giving women information.
Representative Boudreau finish up here. Go ahead.
I'm not so sure that I see inconsistency. I think information should be provided, and particularly provided in such a procedure that does have medical risks, psychological risks. I think we should err on the side of giving enough information. The woman has the right to do with that information as she chooses. No one forces her to read it. No one forces her to make a choice that she does not want to make. This is clearly about information. It's not about restricting a person's right to anything that is in state law. And I would appreciate that the focus stay on what it is.
On the information, we agree.
All right. We have to run, but thank you very much for joining us, both of you. Appreciate it.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Our guest this hour, Republican State Representative Linda Boudreau of Faribault, who is the author in the House of the so-called Right to Know Bill. Connie Perpich has been with us, Director of Public Affairs for Planned Parenthood of Minnesota. Of course, we'll keep you posted as these bills move through the legislature. 5 minutes now before 12.
Here's the Writer's Almanac for Wednesday, the 28th of March, 2001. It's the birthday of novelist Russell Banks in Newton, Massachusetts, 1940. author of Sweet Hereafter, Cloud Spitter, Continental Drift, Affliction, and many other books. It's the birthday of novelist Mario Vargas Llosa, born in Arequipa in southern Peru, 1936, author of The Time of the Hero, Aunt Julia, and The Scriptwriter, and other books. It was on this day in 1941, with the horrors of World War II looming, fearful of a German invasion of England, Virginia Woolf, at the age of 59, loaded her pockets with stones and walked into the River Ouse near her home in Sussex in southeastern England. She left a note for her husband, "I have a feeling I shall go mad. I hear voices and cannot concentrate on my work. I have fought against it, but cannot fight any longer." It's the birthday of novelist Nelson Algren, born in Detroit, 1909. His father was a machinist. He grew up in a working-class neighborhood, worked his way through the University of Illinois, graduated into the Depression. There was no work. He drifted around the country, rode the rails as a hobo, worked for a carnival. His first novel came out in 1935 called Somebody in Boots. It was hardly noticed. He reissued it 21 years later as A Walk on the Wild Side. His most successful novel was The Man with the Golden Arm, came out in 1949. In his prose poem, Chicago City on the Make, Nelson Algren wrote about his hometown. "City that walks with her shoulder bag banging her hip, you gave me your gutters and I gave you back gold. City I never pretended to love for something you were not. I never told you you smelled of anything but cheap cologne. I never told you you were anything but a loud old bag. Yet you're still the doll of the world, and I'm proud to have slept in your tireless arms." And it's the birthday of the playwright and novelist Maxim Gorky, born in Nizhny Novgorod in Russia in 1868. His best-known work in America is his play The Lower Depths. He also wrote the autobiographies My Childhood and In the World. In My Childhood, Gorky wrote, "In time I came to understand that out of the misery and murk of their lives, the Russian people had learned to make sorrow a diversion, to play with it like a child's toy." Here's a poem for today by Chuck Miller, entitled In Celebration of Surviving. When senselessness has pounded you around on the ropes, and you're getting too old to hold out for the future, no work and running out of money, and then you make a try after something that you know you won't get, and this long shot comes through on the stretch in a photo finish of your heart's trepidation, then for a while, even when the chill factor of these prairie winters puts it at 50 below, you're warm and have that old feeling of being a comer, though belated, in the crazy game of life. Standing in the winter night, emptying the garbage and looking at the stars, you realize that although the odds are fantastically against you, when that single January shooting star flung its wad in the maw of night, it was yours, and though the years are edged with crime and squalor, that second wind, or 23rd, is coming strong, and for a time, perhaps a very short time, one lives as though in a golden envelope of light. A poem by Chuck Miller, In Celebration of Surviving, from Northern Fields, New and Selected Poems, published by Coffee House Press. Used by permission here on the Writer's Almanac. Brought to you by the people at 21NorthMain.com, where book lovers find 13 million gently read classics, bestsellers, and rare masterpieces on the web at 21NorthMain.com. Research by Merck C.